Well, I did want to land in on that gospel because to me it's a bit of an ouchy kind of gospel. You know, they talk about forgiveness, first of all, which is tough thing to be doing. And then the disciples say, increase our faith, make it all possible, please. And Jesus comes back with this thing about seeds and slavery. Oh my goodness, it all just sounds so confusing and so difficult. I have to say, when I was thinking about this, if back in my parish days, if somebody knocked on my door and said, Ann, I want to increase my faith, I probably would have taught them how to pray a different way, or I would have given them a workshop to go to, or a book to read, or some service project to do. I fully admit that it probably would have been my first response. But that wasn't Jesus's response. To increase my faith, he picks them up by the scruff of the neck, he shakes them around, and he says, look at who you are. You have everything you need already. Everything. As I sat with this week, there was a story that came by my life twice this week that I wanted to share with you about this, that has helped me kind of ruminate on it. And it's a story, it intrigues me. It's told in many different cultures in many different ways, so you'll recognize this story. And it's told in different faith traditions too. You'll recognize it. The story I'm going to tell you is called The Lion Who Became a Sheep. One day, there was a mother lion, and she was very pregnant. And those of us who have been very pregnant know what that feels like. It's a very heavy feeling. She was so heavy with her pregnancy that she found it really hard to pounce on food and eat it. So she became very hungry. So she was a heavy, angry, and hungry mother lion. One day she was out in the forest and she saw a pasture far away, and she was tired, so she curled up in the forest to have a sleep. And as she slept, she had a dream. She had a dream that in that pasture, it was filled with sheep. Oh, this tired, angry, and hungry mother lion. In her dream, she leapt for one of the sheep. And as she leapt for one of the sheep, she woke up from her dream. You ever had that happen to you? You make a violent movement in your dream and you wake up? She woke up from her dream and she opened her eyes, and there before her were a real flock of sheep in the pasture, and she leapt for one and she grabbed a little lamb and she ran away into the forest with this little lamb. The sheep, what she didn't know was that as she leapt, the exertion had, she'd given birth to her cub, and she'd left the cub behind. The sheep were frozen with panic with this lion jumping out, but when their panic settled and they'd realized they'd lost one of their lambs, they bleated with their lamentations over a lost lamb. And then they heard this mewing. And they looked around, and there was this little lion cub in their midst, lost, lonely, and mewing. One of the ewes went over and sniffed around him and adopted him in, and he became part of that flock of sheep. Well, he grew up to be a lion with a great big mane and a long lion tail, but he grew up to be a sheep. He learned how to eat grass. He was a vegetarian lion, you know? He learned how to bleat like a little sheep. He learned all the sheep words. He learned how to be this perfect, weak, and meek little sheep. Well, one day, another lion came along. Tad hungry, this lion too. And he spies this flock of sheep. Ha ha, he says, dinner! And he starts to race and to pounce. Well, the sheep run away. But as the lion is chasing them, the lion realized that there's a lion in their midst, and he's got his tail stuck up, just like all the sheep have when they're running away. And he says, why is this lion running away from me? He's so curious that he forgets the sheep and his hunger, and he focuses in on this lion. and he chases the lion down and pounces on him and says, "Why are you running from me, brother lion?" Well, the sheep lion goes, "Bah, bah, don't eat me, bah, bah, I'm just a sheep, no, bah, bah, don't eat me." And he says, "Wait a minute, you're not a sheep, you're a lion."
"Bah, I'm just a little sheep, don't eat me."
He says, "No." So he picks him up by the scruff of his neck, and he takes him over to the lake, and he has him look at his reflection in the lake. And the sheep lion is, what's going on? But gradually he realizes that lion looks like him. And the lion says, "You are not a sheep. You are a lion like me." And the sheep lion, "I'm not a lion, I'm not a bah." He says, "No," and he bangs him around on the head a little bit and shakes him up. "You're to roar, because lions roar." The sheep lion tries and tries, and eventually he gets a roar out of him. And then he says, "Roar." And then he gets bigger with a roar. "I'm a lion." Well, the first lion takes this sheep lion with him, and they leap away across to the fields, and the lion takes the sheep lion to live with him in his den and continue to teach him the ways of being a lion. The sheep lion grew into his birthright as a lion king of the jungle. Now, that story is told in many cultures, and it's told in many faith traditions, because it illustrates what life is like for you and for me. We are created in the image of God. We are God's children, and we can roar with peace and joy and love and forgiveness. But we've forgotten who we are. We were born into a human family, and we learned the human ways of fear and worry. So we spend much of our time
bleeding with fear. "I can't do that. There's no way I can make that difference in my life. There's no way I can forgive that person. There's no way I can get over this difficulty."
We spend our life bleating, forgetting who we are. Jesus came to pick us up by the scruff of our neck, to shake us around and say, "I want you to remember who you are. You are created in the image of God. You are child of God. You are salt of this earth. You are light of this world. You are branch to my vine. You belong to me. I've come to give you all the glory that the Father has given to me. You and me, we're one. We belong together." No matter what goes on in life, yes, life is difficult, but no matter what goes on in life, you are mine. You are born in the image of God. May you grow into that birthright that is yours. That truth was illustrated in our other two scriptures this morning, too, that we heard. So I'll just touch on them briefly. In Lamentations, it's a beautiful book. It's not long. It's only like five or six chapters. It's not long. It's full of grief. It's full of pain, and it's full of sorrow. You'll recognize all of that. The prophet is weeping over the destruction of his city, over his worship space that's been desecrated, over all of his friends that have been put into chains and marked away to slavery to Babylon. Can you just imagine that happening? If the North Shore was devastated, if this church was a rambling mass, and everybody you cared about had been taken away to slavery. He's weeping. He's weeping. But in the midst of Lamentations, in chapter 3, he says, "I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. Despite the upheaval this prophet has known in his life, he looks into the pool and he sees who God is. He sees who he is. He knows his birthright. And he says, I will hope. No matter what devastation is around me, I will live in hope. And I could say the same things for the second reading that we had of Paul's letter to Timothy. It's a lovely, encouraging letter, but you've got to know the circumstances. When Paul wrote that letter, he was not sitting around his living room or his office. He was under arrest, and it wasn't a nice, pretty house arrest like he had before. This was his last arrest. He was in a dungeon. He was in chains. He was alone. He was lonely, and he knew he was getting ready to die, that they were going to kill him. He's in a dreadfully difficult, painful place. And in the midst of all that, Paul looks into the pool and he sees God and he sees himself. And he says, I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He says, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. And he roars with his power and his strength. And we are to roar. We are to stand firm in who we are. That we are made in the image of God. That we are God's children. That we have within us the faith of God, the hope of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God within us. Jesus came to pick us up by the scruff of the neck, take us to the pool, and have us look and see who we are and whose God is. And to be reminded, a good bell to remind us there. Jesus says, you're mine. You're light of the world. You're salt of the earth. I want you to learn my ways. Just like in the story, the lion takes the sheep lion off to his cave and he teaches him the ways of being a lion. So Jesus says to us, come and learn my ways. Learn my ways of hope. Learn my ways of compassion. And learn my ways of forgiveness. Always, always, always into the ways of forgiveness. Maybe there is someone in your life today that you need to be forgiving. Maybe there is somebody who has stepped on your toe, pushed you out of the way, behaved in a way that irritates you, holds a belief contrary to yours. Just maybe, because we are humans and we do live with a lot of people who can step on our toes. Maybe there's someone to forgive today. Jesus says all you need is a tiny bit of faith, and each one of us has faith. Sufficient faith for our life. And the funny thing is about faith, when you use it, it gets bigger and stronger inside you. Just like your muscles get worked at the gym, if you go there or if you walk, faith gets stronger when you use it. When you practice forgiveness, it will get stronger. When you practice kindness, it will grow deeper inside you. Because faith is as natural to you as it is for a servant to serve his master. You have what it takes within you to forgive another. You have it. Imagine what it would be like if we all woke up to the fullness of our inheritance as God's children, if we all woke up to the deep love that is within us, if we woke up to the deep hope that is within us, if we woke up to the deep forgiveness that is within us, imagine what our homes and our community would be like. Sharon asked that I give you a question to ponder, and we'll have a couple of minutes of silence after the sermon today. And my question for you is, where has your faith been challenged this week? Perhaps there's someone you need to express forgiveness to. Where has your faith been challenged, and how might you respond?